Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Last Friday, we had businessman prayer, and a few of them gave this, indication. They gave me this sort of report. Seems like the economy is slowing down here in Singapore, right? When a company sent a truck for repair, the mechanic said, "You want your truck back so fast for what? Your business so good, ah?" So even the mechanics kind of know, it's slowing down, right? Amen. So be careful. Don't want anyhow change job, right? Secondly, if it's not necessary, don't change car. Amen. Especially your job is stable, working for a government, stable job, just hang in there, right? But once the economy is on the way down, the car price is going to come down. I don't know about property, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. And one or 2 weeks ago, I said there's promotion coming for somebody, some people. I was told that somebody just received the news that the person just got promoted. I think there's some more to come. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Right? Another story, as I tell you, John just got married at the age of 25. And he used to stay in opposite ACS. And actually, John's wife, Anne, at that time she was only 9 years old, John was 10 years old. And she said the parents have been looking for a place to rent. Suddenly they went to this place, and the mother just went to the condo and said, "This is it." They just decided to rent that place. And because they rent that place, there's no playground, so Anne, that's John's wife now, will go over to the next condo where John lives. She plays there. And the kids all go over there and play. And then that's where she met John. When she was 9 years old, she told an Indian boy, "Say, one day I'm going to marry John." Right? So that is a word from the Lord, And he married John last Thursday. But also, when they were living there, they have a prayer group there. Prayer group was there. Right? Amen. So that's many times when we pray, God just move, orchestrate things, right? Long time ago. That was when he was 10 years old, now he's 25, 15 years ago, right? And when I saw the wedding photo, sometimes you can tell, just in your spirit, you can tell that's a perfect match. Perfect in the sense, not perfect match. Perfect match means, your thing on the natural. That's the perfect will of God. You can just tell. In your spirit, you can just tell. Right? That's the perfect will of God. Right? So his wife told us a story, then you look back and things, right? How the Lord moved. The parents just went and said, "This is it." They just decided on the spot. That was 15 years ago. Many times in prayer, you pray and you pray and then God just moves. And then He moved people, He moved things around 10, 15, 20 years ago, and it's fulfilled 15, 20 years down the road. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So the economy is on a downturn, right? So ask God for wisdom. Don't spend unnecessarily, right? Not necessarily, don't go and change car, because if there's a downturn, price is going to come down, right? Praise the Lord. And for HDB, you want to sell HDB, I guess don't wait for the downturn, but to buy, I don't know lah. Right? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, let's pray for the tithes and offering. Let's look at this scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. And God told Samuel to go and anoint one, go and look for one of Jesse's sons to anoint him to be king, to replace King Saul. And God spoke to Samuel, said, "Fill your horn with oil." Those days, no bottles. They filled the horn with oil to anoint someone. And go, I'm sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite in Bethlehem. That's where Jesus was born. Amen. Jesse the Bethlehemite must be living in Bethlehem. Amen. And when he anointed David as king, and that's where Jesus was born. Amen. So many a times in the Old Testament, places, things been said are prophetic. Right? In the natural, that's Jesse is living in Bethlehem. But prophetically, you know, that's where Jesus was born. For I have provided for myself a king among his sons. Especially, right, so it doesn't matter whether he's downturn or whatever, he's still God. As long as we are still on his path, on his plan. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the times we bring as honor and worship unto you. We thank you, Lord, all that we have is yours. We thank you, Lord, all that we have is yours. When you give it to me, you are actually providing for yourself. The seed that I sow, I thank you, Lord, that you will be multiplied back to me, because it's just like multiplying back to yourself. We thank you, Father, for your word never returns void. It is true, and it shall be filled. In Jesus' name, everyone say, amen. So you need to just follow the Lord, God's will. Wisdom, sometimes downturn, you need to ask God for wisdom, how to deal with, right? Doesn't matter what need you have, amen. Just make sure in the perfect will of God, expect it. And tell the Lord, Lord, it's time. Amen. Amen. Right. Today, let's talk about run with endurance in the life of faith. Amen. So actually, where I'm coming from is Hebrews 11 is all about the man or woman of faith. Amen. Then suddenly, from Hebrews chapter 12, he talked about the endurance of faith. Right? Now, we are blessed to have a Heavenly Father who, out of his deep love and care for us, always warns us and prepares us for what is to come. Right? Thank you, Jesus. And he will warn us what is to come. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11 is all about men of faith. Hebrews chapter 12, he's warning us. And he's preparing us. Endure. When you run the life of faith. In John chapter 7, this is about Jesus. Verse 1, after this thing, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. So you think Jesus go everywhere. Wow, man. They want to kill him. He didn't want to go there anymore. Judea. So you think Jesus go everywhere. No, it doesn't. They want to kill him. So when Jesus was on earth, he was walking in faith. Walking by faith, he's walking the life of faith. Amen. Now when he was on earth, right, as a son of man, he was walking by faith, living the life of faith. And when people want to kill him, when the time is not, he refused to go there. Because they sought to kill him, he didn't want to go there anymore. So he went to his ministry center around Galilee. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacle was at hand. Verse 3, his brother therefore said to him, depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciple also may see the work that you have done. You know, what we are seeing is his brother also despise him. His own brothers. Right? Verse 4, for no one does anything in secret while himself seek to be known openly. You do this thing, show yourself to the world. Right? Then verse 5, for even his brothers did not believe him. Right? So Jews tried to kill him and his brother ridiculed him. Now what we're saying is, so what did he do? He had to endure, right or not? Endure the suffering of faith. Amen. So when Jesus preached a tough message to his disciple about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, many of his disciples deserted him and walked not with him again. Right? That's John chapter 6. He preached, he said, you have to eat of my flesh, drink of my blood, else there's got no life. Right, they're all just this dispersed, deserted him. And in the end, Judas Iscariot betrayed him. Peter denied him. Thomas did not believe him, did not believe he was risen. So Jesus' life of faith was not easy. He endured more than anyone else. This underscores the importance of endurance in our walks of faith, instilling a sense of determination. How do we continue to endure and finish our walk with the Heavenly Father on earth? Walking with the Heavenly Father and walking out His plan for us is a walk of faith with challenges. So, Hebrews chapter 11 listed all the men and women of faith. Hebrews chapter 12 gives us the ingredients to walk and finish our race set before us against the forces that try to set us back. Amen. Now let's study Hebrews chapter 12. Endurance in the life of faith. Right? In Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses, that means actually, you know, in heaven, a lot of people are watching over us. If you have a loved one has gone to heaven, they are watching you spiritually, not naturally. They don't care how much money you have, but they know your spiritual condition and your progression. So you are watched by a huge crowd of witnesses in heaven to the life of faith. Since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses, our life of faith, let us strip off every weight, that's one, that slows us down. Second, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Especially those students who are in ministry, you know, right? Especially in ministry, there's no challenges, you know, and no persecution, then they are not in the will of God. Right? So the Holy Spirit says to run with endurance the race God has set before us. I mean, not just for those in ministry. It's the same, whatever God embark you on, his plan, amen, students, right? Those in business, those in your career, those in the army, those don't know what is going on after the army, don't know where he's supposed to go, right? So it's a time of endurance. You want to run the life of faith, run the race of faith, race of faith. You have to endure. One aspect of endurance, you don't know what is ahead of you. Amen? That's another thing you have to endure. Correct now? So the Holy Spirit said to run with endurance the race God has set before us. We pray a lot for God's plan and pray you walk out of it. His plan is life of faith you are running. And the word endurance means capacity to continue to bear up under difficult circumstances. I'm preaching faith. I preach grace. I preach faith. I'm preaching the endurance of faith. Amen. In other words, I'm preaching the right aspects of suffering. Right now, means the capacity. You mean you must have the capacity to continue, and it's easy to continue if you are in will of God, perfect will of God, amen. Continue to bear up under difficult circumstances. Right. So endurance is not just mental endurance. There's another element that gives us the power to endure. Without the next element, then your endurance is just physical and mental, right? So there's another element that gives us the power to endure is Romans chapter 12:12. Rejoice in hope, endure in suffering, persist in prayer, right? Without the aspect of persisting in prayer when we're going through suffering, right? Then we are enduring mentally and physically. But it depends how much you can endure physically and mentally, right? But if you can persist in prayer, persist, right? Amen? Persistent prayer releases the power of the Holy Ghost from our spirit into our soul and body, empowering us with the strength to endure. Now, this is spiritual strength. Amen? So don't wait until you suffer, then you pray. No. You get into prayer long before, you know, Praise God. Persistent prayer is not just about not giving up, but about continuing steadfast in prayer until we come out of our trials and testings. It is about seeking His strength and guidance in every step of our journey through prayer. For instance, we face difficult situations, we can persistently pray for God's wisdom and strength to guide us through it. This kind of persistent prayer ensures our success in enduring suffering. Right? This kind of persistent prayer ensures our success in enduring suffering. You don't want to endure without the power of the Holy Ghost. Without prayer, endurance is in your mental, depending on your mental and physical strength. Thank you, Lord. Amen. The forces of evil trying to set us back in our life of faith. Amen. First, we endure. What are the things that we have to overcome? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I ask you a question. When you run endurance, the race set before you, do you have the grace of God to run? Depends. Whether you're in the perfect will, permissive will, or not the will of God. If you are not in the will of God, pao zhong. Right? In the permissive will of God, you're going to suffer more than somebody who's in the perfect will of God. Amen. The word sin in Romans chapter 5 is the same Greek word used here. It's described as a force of evil. Why? Because it is a force of evil, because of the word ensnares. Amen. Right? In context of the word of ensnare, so this word sin is about, is described as a force of evil, a personified power that rules and reigns and enslaves humankind before Christ. Amen. Enslave, ensnare, to enslave, right? And the word ensnare means pertaining to the exerting of tight control. So it's not about your act of sin, but it's the forces of evil that try to exert tight control over your life. Right or not? So sin here, which is a noun, refers to a satanic force, which is evil, that tries to control us tightly. But satanic forces has no power and authority over us, because we are in Christ and we have authority over them. Amen. That's why this subject is very important. Believers' authority. Amen. There's no use just understanding the grace of God. I don't understand the believer's authority. Because the grace of God is released through the authority you have in the name of Jesus. If you don't understand, you don't release His grace to deal with evil forces. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we use our authority in Jesus' name to dispel any forces of evil that try to control us. If you don't use your authority, there's nothing God can do for you. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Hebrews 11, talk about all the men and women of faith, man. Hebrews chapter 12, it tells you endure the race of faith. How? Right? He said, lay aside every weight and sin. This, how you lay aside the forces of evil that's trying to exert tight control over your life, authority you have to use in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, let's talk about weight. Weight that holds us back from running the life of faith. Right? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. The life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Hebrews 11, talk about a man of faith, man. Praise the Lord. Right? Romans, man, they just want to talk about the grace of God. They want to talk about faith. After Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 12 comes. Chapter 12, first thing, talk about endure. Right? Weight is different from the forces of evil that try to control us. The word weight means this, serve to hinder or prevent someone from doing something. Hindrance, right? So we have to set aside everything that serves as a hindrance. Example of weights are burdens, worries, right? Anxieties that we should release to the Lord. There's no use. Right now, get rid of those weight. Amen. If you don't get rid of those weight, it hinders you, it stifles your faith. Faith in using the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, God is not able to deal with demonic forces if you don't deal with it in the name of Jesus. Amen. That we should release to the Lord our anxieties, worries, ministry that you are not supposed to continue in will be a weight because you are carrying without the grace of God. Right? So in this church, you know, many times you have to address members of the church, and sometimes they listen online. Some of them are in ministry. The students are here. So praise God. Amen. Ministry they are not supposed to continue in because it'll be a weight because you are carrying without the grace of God. Partnering with someone who is not flowing with you in ministry can also be a weight. It pulls you back. Right? When I was in university, when I finished my last year and I was coming back, you know, and I was dating somebody, you know, in Australia, Perth. Man, you sense there's a weight, you know, a weight. Man, just dragging you back. And I knew it's a weight that pulls me back spiritually. And I didn't know I have a calling in my life. I'll be a pastor. I knew, you know. And I was praying, and I just felt that I was just carrying a weight. And the Lord said, drop it. I flew all the way back to Perth to call it off. And my elders down there said, man, you come, you know, you come and call. You know, at this time, she's doing her final year, you call it off, she flung her exam, how? God says so, you call it off. Drop it. I dropped it after spiritually, she began to draw more closer to God. Right? Praise the Lord. Amen. Obey God, don't care what people say. God knows better. Yeah, I can never forget. Man, it was a weight, man. I knew, you know, and I knew it's a weight. It was really not only slow me down, it really hindered me from going forward spiritually. And I didn't know that time. I was just born again two and a half years. A baby Christian, what to talk about ministry? But I can sense it, you know. Oh, God, my goodness. And the moment I knew, just booked a ticket, just flew back there. Right? Instead of just calling long distance, I flew back there to call it off. Right? Praise God. Thank you, Father. There was and I flew back somewhere in April. I remember very clearly, but I came back in January, I flew back in April, I met my wife in October, 6 months. I'm telling you, not just a weight, okay, it will hinder you from, like John. 2 years ago, God asked John, you willing to let go? He said, yes. 2 years ago, 2 years later, he's married now. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Someone's doctrine is different from yours can be a weight. Striving between two persons can be a weight, and forces of evil work at work against you. Right? Striving, not talking about ministry. Right? Striving also can be a weight. That one is worse because demonic forces are involved. Right? It opens to evil spirits to come in between the two who are striving. The scripture says, put away, shake off the word. Strip off means shake off, strip off, throw off, strip off every weight that hinders and slows us down in the life of faith. You want the best from God, you know that it's a hindrance, it's a weight, strip it off. It can be relationship, partnership, business. I mean, you've gone into business that you shouldn't have gone into, right? It's the same. Businesses, you go into something you shouldn't go into, it'll cost you, right? Money, relationship you shouldn't have gone into, it will cost you, it could be 20 years down the road. Amen. So once you know, I mean, if you want the best from God, you want the perfect will of God, what are you waiting for? Strip it off. Amen. Ministry is the same. If it is for God, don't care, you know, whoever is involved in my ministry, strip them off. Amen. Get rid of any sin or weight that hinders or controls you from the life of faith. Then running with endurance in the race set before us in faith will be easier. You know, you have the grace of God to run. If not, you don't have. You know, it will be a struggle. You could be running your career race, family race, ministry race. We run with endurance, deal with the forces of evil using our authority in the name of Jesus and prayer, and throw off any weight that slows us down or hinder us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, how do we continue and finish the race? Look to Jesus, right? Looking to Jesus to continue and finish the race. Amen. When you're suffering, look to Jesus. When you're happy and joy, look to Jesus. Amen. When you go on holiday and your joy, just thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Don't forget Him when you go on holiday. Don't just remember Him when you're suffering. When you're having a good time, you're sitting in some mountain somewhere. So look at the mountain, first thing you thank. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author of your faith. What do you mean by author? Your faith begins with Him, started with Him. He authored it because He spoke to you. He planned it. He spoke to you. He's the author of your faith. And He will finish it. I will finish my race of faith. Amen. I will finish it. Amen. When the time comes for me to go, I will finish it. Amen. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. You think Jesus didn't endure? He came as a Son of Man one. Despising the shame, right? After we have done what is written in verse 1, right, early on, that means, you know, endure, get rid of the weight and the sin, deal with the forces of evil, right? We continue to look to Jesus to continue our race of faith because He is the author. He spoke to us. I mean, if you embark on your own plan, then He wasn't the author of the plan of your life, the path that you walk on this earth. Amen. Now you understand why we so strongly advocate, get into the perfect will, the perfect plan of God. Amen. And that doesn't mean without suffering. sure bound to have, right? So to begin with, Jesus spoke to us through the Holy Spirit, revealing His plan. His plan was unfolded to us through praying in our own tongues. Then we embark on our journey according to the plan and the will of God because we heard from Him or prayed out. We prayed out. Amen. So it's the same. Marriage is the same. You marry someone who's in the perfect will. You think John and Anne marry, everything will be fine. It's only just the beginning, right? Especially they are so young. They're, oh my God, now it's only just begun to live without mother and father. Huh? Amen. Sure got friction one. Where got no friction? Two different characters come together. It's still perfect will. That doesn't mean you're perfect. So sure got friction one. Right? So I when I look at the photo, I just felt that they are in the perfect will of God. She was so happy. I said, yeah, look at the photo. I feel so happy. You know, yeah. When you're in the perfect will of God, that's what how you feel. That doesn't mean there's no challenges. I don't use the word strife. Okay? Strife, demonic spirit involved. Right? Challenges. Amen. Or frictions. Of course, your parent raised you up, this way, two of you come together now. That's why it's another reason now. This could be just my idea. That's why the scripture says, leave your mother and father and cleave to your wife, because whatever friction, don't load it onto your parent. Leave, you know. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you see, once you're in the perfect will of God, I'm telling you, not only they will suffer. So every time you hear whatever they go through, man, you also suffer. Pastor also suffer, you know why not? Because you don't know, there's nothing you can do. Merely not perfect will, not perfect will, permissive will, not the will of God is worse. What can you do? You pray, pray, you don't know what to advise them. Right now. Stokora mahange, stombre etskanehe. So since he's the author of our faith, he will lead us to finish it. The word looking means to look away from one thing so as to see another. Look away from the suffering, the trials and the testings. And look to him, Jesus. Look to him, look at what? You have to look at Jesus. Remember the plan that his word he spoke to you. Right now. Remember how, what did he say to you? What did he reveal to you? Right? How he led you to this place? How he led you that far? I mean, in the first place, how come you know? So when you look to him, your disappointment also will dissipate. Right now. Amen. You look to him. You look away to look to him. Right now. And it may not be easy, but because you're confronted with issues and sufferings of life and the tests and trials, what do you do? Look to him and go move forward. Right? Or if you're out of the will of God, get back in the perfect will. Right now. We marry the wrong one, that's going to be worse. There are two things. Marry the wrong one, it's going to take time. I don't know, unless you're straight away. The other thing is you messed up financially, it really takes time to get out. Amen. So, looking also means to concentrate the gaze upon Jesus. What gaze? So, if you don't know what to look at, just close your eyes, just spell the word Jesus in your mind. Right on. And the other thing is just ask yourself, what did he say to you? What has been speaking to you? Right on. Right? What was his plan for you? Right? If you're in the perfect will of God, in the plan of God, just remember this is his will. This is his plan. Remind yourself of his plan. Then you're looking away. But that doesn't mean there's no suffering in the flesh and in the soul, right? Emotionally, yeah. Because there will be. Right, but no, sickness is not God put on you, okay, in the first place. That means you look away from the challenges, trial, testing, and sufferings, and look to Jesus, the one who will lead you to finish the race of faith. Look away from the sufferings and concentrate on Jesus in the Word of God, on the task, assignment, I know sometimes it's not easy, right, and plans he has given to you. Then continue to do the work of faith. Easier to look away is keep yourself busy. Right? Don't shut up in the room, close the curtain, switch off all the light and be depressed. Right? Get out into the sun. Amen? And continue to find something else to do. Right? You are depressed, go find another depressed person, encourage that person, give him a prophecy to encourage him, rebuke the devil. Right now. You cannot find some mental hospital, there are a lot. Right? Amen. Thank you, Father. Then continue to do the work of faith, your career, ministry. Press on, move forward to stay faithful to what God has entrusted us. Right? After all, Jesus suffered and endured the cross, and he despised the shame, which means to think of it as of no value. People look down on you, think of it no value. All right? The more you're concerned, the more you find the people look down on you, right? They take you for granted. Somebody told me, yeah, you know, a friend take me for granted. One. Every time I cancel my appointment, yeah, that's a sign they take you for granted. Praise God. So the word despise the shame means to think of it as of no value. That means people look down on you, shame you, think of it as no value, right? There's no value in others shaming you. The value is when you endure the suffering and shame and the Heavenly Father blesses us beyond our imagination. So Hebrews 11 discusses faith and lists the heroes or heroines of faith. Hebrews 12 discusses how to live the life of faith. Now, next thing. Consider Jesus lest you become weary and discouraged. Right? If you have any other good idea about how to consider, look to Jesus and let me know so that I can use it in my sermon some years down the road. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 13. Verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. Right? Verse 3, not 13. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. For consider him who endures such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul, not in your spirit, you see. Amen. And the word consider means, right, to think out carefully, to reason thoroughly, to consider carefully. And don't be a fool when people look down on you, take you for granted. They kind of friend, they kind of not friends, you know. Don't want to run with the kind of people, right? Amen. When we experience difficult times, challenges, and suffering, quickly put your mind and spirit on Jesus. Consider what he went through, right? And reason thoroughly and carefully so that you don't abandon the plan and the will of God. It means you reason the consequences, you abandon. Consider, is this still the plan of God, right? You begin to wonder whether it's still the plan, but you better. That's why when God speaks to you, write it down. Amen. Write down what the plan of God, amen, for your life. So when you go through challenges in life, so that you can consider him, right? Practically, how you consider him? You can see Jesus, man? Cannot. Right? Reason thoroughly and carefully so that you don't abandon the plan and will of God. Jesus pressed on, went to the cross and suffered physically and emotionally. He went down to hell and his spirit suffered spiritually and his soul suffered emotionally. Remind ourselves that our suffering can never be beyond his and can never be near to his. And think carefully about the cost and the consequences of abandoning God's plan and ministry for others. Others who are in ministry must consider, right? Consider the consequences of Jesus' abandonment of going to the cross. I'm telling you, this is the ultimate abandonment of humankind. Think of the impact we have on our family members and others if we abandon the plans and the ministry God gave us. Amen. Think carefully about how Jesus endured the hostility and we don't grow weary and discouraged in our soul. Right? When you're discouraged, don't look at the things or listen to the things that discourage you. Amen. But you cannot think of his plan. That's where body ministry comes in. Right? That's where fellowship comes in. When things are fine, you develop close fellowship. I mean, the young people are developing good fellowship among themselves. Huh? Why do you think God gave John at the age of 25 a wife? He needs it. No, not it. He needs her. Amen. I guarantee you for sure. Right? You better have a wife. At least you go home to the wife. Right? Like I said, you know, 2 years ago, he was super spiritual. You know? Wow. You see, God spoke to me two things. The second thing is, are you ready to let it go? That time he was interested in somebody in somewhere, you know. Right? And he was so spiritual. I mean, it's all with the grace of God. He said, I am willing. Oh. No, God has someone ready for him, ready. Amen. So, consider, amen, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. Now, this is the key. Amen. I mean, if you not in the perfect will of God, everything, you know, then nothing else to consider. Else, you just look to him. Look to Jesus because it's his plan, his will anyway. Amen? Then you look to him, right? Look to him so that you don't grow weary and discouraged in your soul. You can get discouraged, but you look to him, you come back. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.